I preached along the lines of my burden today countless times. Many, many times. But I don't know that I've ever began from this perspective. But this is what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Verse 15 of Proverbs 30. The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb and the earth that is not filled with water and the fire that saith not, it is enough. It is enough. I've got all I want. There's three things that are never satisfied. There's four things that never say, I've got all I want. The grave never says, I'm satisfied. I've claimed all the souls I care to claim. That'll never happen. The barren womb is never satisfied with barrenness. The earth that craves water, the rain from heaven. Amen. At some point or another, no matter how much rain has fallen in the past, the earth's going to cry for more. The earth never says, I don't want any more rain. The fire, the fourth thing that's listed, never says, I don't want to burn anything else. I don't want to consume anything else. Just let me die out and never spark again. It will never happen. There are four things that say not. They will not say. They never will say enough. Amen. Amen. We understand these things, and perhaps I'll talk a little bit more about some of them after a while. I want to minister the word of the Lord today from this perspective on this subject, the fifth thing. There's three things that are never satisfied. Four things that never say enough. Amen. But I want to preach about the fifth thing today. Would you lift up your hands? Would you open up your heart? Lift up your voice.
I love you, Jesus. I worship your name.
Would you pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, come on, lift up your voice together. Oh, I love you, Savior. I praise your name. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I glorify your name, Jesus. Everyone said, in Jesus' name, Lord, bless you. Please be seated. Before I get started, I don't want to be remiss today in not extending my congratulations to Sister Brooklyn and Brother Roger. And I do feel like somebody has punched me in the gut. And there's probably some other fathers in their late 40s and early 50s with daughters in their early 20s that are just having a hard time right now. And Pastor, I cannot imagine. And Brother, offer my congratulations to this couple and my condolences to Brother French and Sister French. But I can't relate to her, but I can certainly relate to him. Oh my. And so bear with me today. Amen. A little bit of that is in jest, but we are, amen, happy for them. Amen. Amen. The grave, the barren womb, dry soil and fire are things that for the most part, in some way or another, all of us are familiar with. These are things that have touched our lives or have affected us in one way or another. Either it has, or at some point in the not too distant future, you will be affected in some way or another by one of these scenarios. They are rather commonplace. They're things that are relatable, things that are easy to understand. As I have already mentioned, that although these four things are very individual, they have a lot of differences, there is a common denominator. There is a commonality that they all share, and that is they are never satisfied. Somebody say that with me. Never satisfied. Say it again. Never satisfied. The grave is never content. Amen. We had a memorial service here in this sanctuary yesterday afternoon and took the trip up north of Tulsa to the cemetery. And as we drove in, I looked and just one after another, after another, after another, after tombstone and grave marker, one after another, after another. Don't know if you've ever had, I would call it a privilege of going to a military or national cemetery. And all the white crosses lined up in just about every angle. No matter how you look at them, they're lined up and they're in unison. But it's not just a handful. It's a cemetery full. The grave is never satisfied. The grave is always looking for another candidate. The barren womb is not satisfied until it is no longer barren. Amen. There are things that can be said and experiences that can be had, but the only thing that will truly satisfy a barren womb is conception, the birth of a child. And until birth happens, that womb is never satisfied. Never. The only thing that will cure that longing is the reversal of that condition. Amen. The earth that is filled or not filled with water. The earth that is in need of more rain is not content and satisfied until the rain comes. We understand herein Middle America, the importance of agriculture, both crops that are grown and the cattle industry. And rain is an extremely important aspect of all aspects of agriculture. You gotta have rain. I know in some parts of the country, you'll find where they have set up irrigation, and it is satisfactory. But the reason why that there is water to be irrigated is that it has rained somewhere. There can be no irrigation without rain, because irrigation comes from reservoirs that need rain, lakes that need rain, rivers that need rain. There must be rain, or there will be no life. At some time or another, the last plant that will bloom has bloomed. The last cow that has lowed will low, and it will be the end if there is no rain. And the earth that is not filled, the earth that is not satisfied, the earth that still needs more moisture, never says enough, no more. Please stop.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if any of you have ever witnessed a wild fire. Something I hope I never experience personally. But I've heard stories and seen pictures, read news articles and seen headlines on the news app about fire. And about the temperature, and about the effects and the powerfulness of a wildfire, always looking for something else to consume. It can burn 1,000 acres and wants more. It can burn 10,000 acres and wants more. As long as there is something else that it can ignite into combustion, it will always respond. How many times have maybe you've stoked the fire, fanned the flame? Maybe all you had was just some hot embers or some hot coals, and all you have to get a flame is to toss something on those coals that is combustible, and fire immediately responds. Because it never says, please don't give me anything else to burn up. Please don't give me anything else to consume. The fire never says enough. Amen. I'm taking my time here this afternoon, but again, these are things that we understand. Perhaps you're thinking today that I'm preaching about a soul. Maybe the fifth thing is a soul, and perhaps in one way or another that is the case. Guess it depends on how you define the word satisfied. But the Bible does say in Psalm 107 and verse 9, he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The Bible does declare that your soul can be satisfied. Thank God for a soul satisfying experience. Amen. I'm sure most of us here today have a favorite meal, and no matter how much you like your favorite dish, there comes a point in time that you are satisfied. I can't eat another bite. Amen. I'm reminded of the words of a young man that is very near and dear to me. Mid-20s now and has my last name, but don't try to figure out who that is. Years ago, Amen. Eating something. I don't know what it was. I'm sure it had some kind of meat involved, because that's typically what we kind of get excited about. And just a little guy. And he's just eating. And at some point in the meal, he says, I think to his mother, Mama, I'm full. But it sure does taste good. He wasn't quite there yet, but he was getting close. That I could stop now, but it still tastes good. There was still a hunger there. But we know what it feels like to be satisfied, to have our hunger satisfied. To push back from the table and say no more. But isn't it amazing, less than 24 hours later, you're back at the same table, asking for more food. How can these things be? I was satisfied a few hours ago. Now I'm hungry for more. Amen. It doesn't matter. No matter how much you have experienced in God, there will always come a time when you need another experience. Amen. I'm satisfied, if you please, in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not content. Amen. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm thankful for all of his goodness and all of his blessings. I'm not trying to be greedy today. I don't have an axe to grind or a bone to pick with God. But part of a real experience with God is a constant hunger for more of God. Amen. Yes, there have been services that we've all experienced that have satisfied our soul. We've had prayer meetings where we live satisfied. We feel happy in God. Amen. Oh, if it could always be this way. Amen. But a little time goes by. A test and a trial happens. Maybe you go through a dry place. Amen. You find yourself back at that same altar. Amen. Lifting your hands to that same God that maybe a week ago you were so satisfied, but now you're looking and you're asking for more. So depends on, I guess, your perspective of satisfaction. Bible does declare in Revelation 22, the Spirit and the bride, the church, say come. Let him that heareth say come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I've got good news for somebody in a state of spiritual depravity. Maybe you don't want to define your condition that extreme today, but if you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you've not believed on Jesus as the scripture hath said, if you've not repented of your sins, been baptized in water, even by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and been filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Amen. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says it takes to get into the church. Amen. Jesus told a religious man named Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. I know this is old news for a lot of us. Amen. But thank God for the new birth experience. It happened for me when I was a 5-year-old husky little boy. Amen. But you know what? Amen. I keep coming back for more. Amen. I'm still repenting. Amen. I'm still claiming the blood that was applied to my soul in baptism. I'm still talking in tongues. I'm still receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let me take this a step this direction just for a few moments here, if you will. Amen. Some would define my life as sheltered. By that I mean I don't know what it's like to be inebriated or intoxicated. I don't know what it's like to shoot up or to snort or to toke or whatever you do with drugs and paraphernalia. That's foreign to me. I know a little bit of the lingo because I've lived going up close to 49 years. So you just pick up some things. But I don't know what it feels like. I've never had that experience. But there's folks here that I'm preaching to that are saying amen. They've been there. They've woken up in their own vomit. Not even knowing where they are. Certainly not how they got there. They look around and they don't even know who's there with them. Who are you? What have we done? What did you do to me? They've been there and done that. Amen. There's people in this sanctuary today that have done just about anything, amen, in that vein of life that it's possible to do. But they were never satisfied. They tried the bottle, and when the bottle didn't satisfy, they tried the needle. And when the needle didn't satisfy, they tried something else. Amen. They tried relationship. Amen. When that didn't work, they went constantly searching for something else because their soul was not satisfied. Amen. One song says it like this: when you tried everything and everything has failed, try Jesus. I want to write another verse of that song, and it goes a little bit like this: you don't have to try everything before you try Jesus. Why don't you try Jesus first and save yourself a lot of time? Save yourself a lot of heartache. Save yourself a lot of scars. I'm not throwing you under the bus if you live the scarred life. What I've come to tell you today is that you will never be satisfied until you repent. You will never be satisfied until you're forgiven. You will never be satisfied until your soul is washed in water through baptism in Jesus' name. You will never be satisfied in your soul until you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Would you clap your hands and praise the Lord right now? No, there's an anointing of the Holy Ghost trying to arrest your attention right now. You say, I'm okay, preacher. I've got religion. I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. You're still looking. Your soul's not satisfied. That's why you keep turning to other worldly things. And you got religion. You're justifying it because you're not satisfied. Accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior does not bring spiritual satisfaction. Repeating a sinner's prayer, confessing Jesus, signing a church card, shaking a preacher's hand. There's nothing wrong with any of that, but it does not satisfy. It's not enough. You can look at Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a denominational preacher, a religious leader. You have a hard time finding fault with his life. The problem is not that there was something wrong. There was something right that was missing. This is where a lot of folks get hung up. They throw up the spiritual hand and they say enough. I've had enough. Look at my life. There's nothing wrong present. You're right. But there's something right absent. Amen. You can be religious from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. You can pay your taxes, tithes, and offerings, be on time for work, never lie, steal, or cheat. And you say, look at my life, preacher. There's nothing wrong present in my life. And you're absolutely right. There's nothing wrong present. But the problem is there's something right that's not present. Amen. It's not something that you've done that you shouldn't have done. It's something that you haven't done that you should have. Amen. You're still what the Bible would call a sinner, because according to the scriptures, you are not saved. But I've accepted Jesus. Amen. I sing in the choir. I shook the preacher's hand. I can quote the 23rd Psalm. Support the church with my finances. I hardly ever miss a service. That's great. Amen. Stand beside Nicodemus and hear Jesus say, amen, marvel not that I said unto you. I said unto you, sir. I said unto you, ma'am. I said unto you, religious person. I'm off my notes, and I'm talking to somebody in the Holy Ghost right now. I'm talking to you, churchgoer. I'm talking to you, scripture quoter. I'm calling to you, the one that others call when they need prayer. You, Nicodemus, you religious one, must be born again. Let's lift our hands right now. The Holy Ghost is trying to help right now. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I hardly ever go here, but I feel so directed to the Holy Ghost right now. But preacher, I've confessed to a priest. It's not there. The only priest that counts to confess to is the great high priest. And until you've approached the great high priest, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he, a man you call father, cannot forgive you in the place of God. He can forgive you, but until you repent to God, you're not forgiven. You can tell me about it, and you've done something wrong to me, I can forgive you, and you're forgiven as far as I'm concerned, but you need to take it up with God, because you really didn't sin against me, you sinned against God. And so go to the one that you sinned against, and go to the one that can do something about your sin. He, the great high priest, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us. Come on, you're not satisfied counting your beads, making the sign of the cross, amen, sprinkling holy water. That doesn't satisfy. All that does is soothe your conscience. It does not satisfy your soul. I spent 5.5 weeks in Southeast Asia over a decade ago, and I've never been the same since. Amen. Pagan people. They estimated in weekend revival services and street services, literally street services, services on the street. They estimated that I preached to well over 1,000 people that heard the gospel for the first time. The first time they ever heard the gospel.
Yes, sir.
That's very humbling. But the consensus of those that I were preaching to was this. I've tried the Methodist God. I've tried the Baptist God. I've tried the Catholic God. I've tried the Presbyterian God. What can your God do for me? They're God collectors. If I make enough gods happy, they're pagan. They're polytheists. They believe in many gods. And I just want to please all the gods so I can have food tomorrow. That's their mentality. I know that's foreign to so many of us today. But that was they come to that service with one question on their mind. What can your God do for me? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The reason why that they showed up after they had been to all those other churches, why? They weren't satisfied.
Right.
Hallelujah. Please don't be offended. I'm not casting any dispersions on any particular religious affiliation. Amen. But I've known of many folks and many in various religious denominations, call them whatever you want to, Baptist and Methodist and Catholic and Presbyterian and Episcopal, on and on and on. They come to an apostolic church and they say, I've never been satisfied. Amen. This is what I've been looking for. But I've never known an apostolic to leave an apostolic church and go to a nominal church and say, I never found what I was really looking for. An apostolic never happens. Because when you find Jesus, you find everything. And when you believe on me, Steve, am I preaching the truth? Am I preaching the truth? Amen. I found here what I couldn't find anywhere else. I found here what I couldn't find in a nominal church. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord right now. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. My God, is there a testimony in the house today? Is there somebody that can wave a hand and lift the praise and say, Brother Walter, that's right. I've lived what you're preaching. I was never satisfied. I was never satisfied. I found in Jesus what I didn't find in the bottle. I found in Jesus what I didn't find in the needle. I found in Jesus what I didn't find online or in a magazine or on the radio. I found in Jesus what I didn't find in loose living. I found in Jesus what I never found on the pew. Oh, I've got a burden for somebody right now. I'm trying to save you a world of hurt. There's folks that can testify through their agreeing with me right now. Save yourself the heartache. Just fall in love with Jesus. Again, you just got to let me be me and say what I feel right now. There's those here today that, amen, knew all about Jesus, had a good relationship, but somehow got a little bit too far, drifted out into the world and thought, you know, I'm okay. I'll just have fun. But they're back in the Father's house. Amen, this is a testimony I wish I'd never left. I wish I never left. Yeah, man, I've got scars I wouldn't have never had. I've got memories I would have never had. It didn't really satisfy. I thought I was going to have fun, but it really wasn't fun. Amen. If I thought it would satisfy, I thought I could find something out there to take the place of what I felt in here. But I had to come back to find what I lost. All right, God, you'll never find a replacement for what you have in the Father's house. There is no other Father's house. There's a difference in never satisfied. Will you understand that? But the Word of God takes us a step further. There's four things he said that say not enough. It's literally an appropriate translation. The definition in the Bible dictionary is enough exclamation point. It's an interjection. Now, if you've been a parent very long, you've said enough many times. If you've driven with small children in the car very long, you've tapped on those brakes and gave the look in the rearview mirror. It's amazing what you can say without never uttering a word, isn't it? But what you're saying is, I've had enough. I've had enough of your back talk. I've had enough of your fussing. I've had enough of your complaining. I've had enough of your crying. Stop it. No more. And the wise man says there's four things. They never say enough. No more. They always say, I want more. My burden today is not complete with a simple focus on us as individuals. But I've come to preach that a real apostolic church never cries enough. I'm telling you, there is a prodding in my spirit. And a leading of the Holy Ghost. Ooh, a real apostolic church. Amen. The fifth thing. Amen. I know about the grave. And I know about the barren womb. And I know about the dry soil. And I know about the raging fire. No offense. Amen, Brother Solomon. But there's something that you didn't know about when you were writing these words of wisdom. There's something that was not in existence when you were penning these wise words. There's a fifth thing that's been brought into existence. Amen. After the grave, and after the womb, and after the earth, and after the fire. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. They were sitting and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. There appeared cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the church. I'm not talking about a religious entity or religious group. I'm talking about a real apostolic church. The fifth thing that never says no more. No more anointing. No more gifts of the Spirit in operation. No more sinners in the altar. No more divine interruptions. No more aisle running. No. No more tongue talking. I've had enough. No more, God. Don't send any more rain. Don't allow any more guests to come into our building. Enough. Amen. It's an interjection. It's an interruption that says, I don't want any more of what you have to offer. Yeah, come on, there ought to be a witness in the Holy Ghost. Amen. To about 300 or 350 souls in this house right now. Amen. Y'all are crying. We're not crying enough. We're crying more. More Holy Ghost. More revival. More prayer. More fasting. More anointing. More demonstration. More forgiveness. More repentance. More water baptisms. More Holy Ghost infilling. Come on, somebody, if you're saying enough, that means you haven't gotten enough before. Because when you really get what you really need, you'll always want more. Oh, let's love the Lord right now. Come on, let the Holy Ghost move. Let God put this in your spirit right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. A real experience with God initiates a hunger for more. Come on, the pattern. Amen. For the modern day apostolic church is the book of Acts church. The early church, our pattern. Amen. Was always reaching for more. Every opportunity they had. When will y'all be satisfied? Brother Waldrop, here we go again. When will you ever be satisfied? When will you ever say enough? Hope to God I never say it. I hope to God even a whisper or a hint of that attitude never rises out of this sanctuary. Because I want to be in the Antioch church. And an Antioch church never says we sent out enough missionaries. I'm telling you, there's some missionaries in this room right now. Amen. Amen. You don't know it. And it hasn't been announced. Amen. Maybe that grace and calling hasn't come on you. But I know what I feel. Amen. There's pastors of other associate churches in this sanctuary right now. Amen. Because an Antioch church never says, amen, we've started enough churches. We've sent out enough missionaries. We've given enough money, amen, for foreign missions. I mean, miracles and signs and wonders. 3,000, 5,000. When will y'all ever stop? We never will. Because the more I get, the more I want. The church is the fifth thing that never says it is enough. I always want more. Anybody hungry for more of God right now? Let's talk to God about it. Let's see what the Holy Ghost will do for us here. In Jesus' name. God, I pray conviction in this house right now. I pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and the power. Lord, I pray your glory. I pray your power. I pray your anointing. I pray your touch. I pray your will. Hallelujah. Come on, let's press on in. Come on, don't say amen to preaching about never saying enough. And then don't reach for more. Please don't stand in support of a apostolic preacher preaching about not saying enough, and then start looking at your watch when it's time to pray. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Come on, that spirit of satisfaction, that spirit of convenience and complacency. Come on, some of that stronghold of hell. Somebody take authority over it right now. There's a place for us to go in the Holy Ghost in this service. There's a demonstration of the Holy Ghost for more than a handful, more than one or two, more than a couple of families. There's a touch of God in this house for somebody. Maybe you thought you were satisfied until you felt what you felt today. Maybe you thought you were okay and I'm good, preacher. But now you're not so sure. I'm talking to a good saint of God here right now, that in your mind and in your heart, you mean no evil, but you know I'm just not the pushing kind, and I appreciate those that do, but I'll just leave it to someone else. And God is saying, never say enough. Never say enough prayer, enough praise, enough push, enough response, enough effort. It's not that God is hard to please. It's just that I love him so much. And the more I reach, the more I get. And the more I get, the more I reach. And the more I reach, the more I get. And the more I get, the more I reach. And the more I reach, the more I get. It's like that fire. At some point in time, it starts feeding off itself. And it produces its own wind to carry its flame to a place that flame can't reach, but the wind that it generates can pick up a flame and jump a road, catch something else on fire. I'm talking about a pursuit of spiritual things. I'm talking about an apostolic church that never cries enough. Let's pray right now. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. God. I would be awfully remiss today as they begin to play the music in conclusion. I would be remiss today without giving somebody that's hungry for more a chance to go for it. A chance to go for more of God. I know everybody in this room is not interested. I'm really not offended. But there's some folks here that are. You know, we've got to be more than just receptive. We've got to be perceptive. And there are times when we perceive. I could just let this pass and be blessed. Or I can make room for this and have revival. That great woman the Bible calls her of Shunem, that says to her husband, I perceive that this is a holy man of God that passes by us. Let us, I pray thee, make a little chamber. Let's make room for this so when it passes, it'll stay. Not just receptive of a nice visitation, but perceptive. making room for it. This is going to do more than just pass this house by. We're going to make this feel at home. Woo! We're going to make this feel at home today. Because there's revival in this. There's a baby in this. God have mercy. There's a healing of a barren womb in this. There's a barren womb that's been crying. Never satisfied. It's when somebody steps beyond receptiveness. Steps into perspectiveness. I perceive. Does anybody perceive today? Can you recognize a visitation? I'm inviting you to step out of your pew and walk down and stand in this altar. Stand and lift up your hands in desire. Come on, get as close as you can. Make room for those. There's plenty coming behind you. Only God knows where we can go in the Spirit today. I'm not trying to drive anybody. I'm trying to lead us. I'm trying to help us get to where God wants us to go. More God. More visitation. More anointing. More understanding. More conviction. More revelation. More desire. More passion. More evangelism. More outreach. More burden. More effectiveness. Oh, I want it, God. More passion for souls. If you're a guest today, please feel welcome. Come to this altar with this church family. Please join with us. Hey, amen. Pursue God with this right now. Pursue God with us today.